18. So if you, chapter 28. So if you could turn, please, to 1 Samuel chapter 28, please. One Samuel chapter 28. And it came to pass in those days that the Philistines gathered their armies together for warfare to fight with Israel. And Achish said to David, "Know thou assuredly that thou shalt go out with me to battle, thou and thy men." And David said to Achish, "Surely thou shalt know what thy servant can do." And Achish said to David, "Therefore will I make thee keeper of mine head forever." Now Samuel was dead, and all Israel had lamented him and buried him in Ramah, even in his own city. And Saul had put away those that had familiar spirits and the wizards out of the land. And the Philistines gathered themselves together and came and pitched in Shunem. And Saul gathered all Israel together, and they pitched in Gilboa. When Saul saw the host of the Philistine, he was afraid. His heart greatly trembled. And when Saul inquired of the Lord answered him not, neither by dreams, nor by Urim, nor by prophets. Then said Saul to his servants, "Seek me a woman that hath a familiar spirit, that I may go to her and inquire of her." And his servant said to him, "Behold, there is a woman that hath a familiar spirit at Endor." And Saul disguised himself, put on other raiment. He went, two men with him. They came to the woman by night. And he said, "I pray thee, divine unto me by the familiar spirit, and bring him up, whom I shall name unto thee." The woman said, "Behold, thou knowest what Saul hath done, how he hath cut off those that have familiar spirits and the wizards out of the land. Wherefore then layest thou a snare for my life to cause me to die?" Saul sware to her by the Lord, saying, "As the Lord liveth, there shall no punishment happen to thee for this thing." Then said the woman, "Whom shall I bring up unto thee?" And he said, "Bring me up Samuel." And when the woman saw Samuel, she cried with a loud voice. And the woman spake to Saul, saying, "Why hast thou deceived me? Thou art Saul." The king said unto her, "Be not afraid. For what sawest thou?" The woman said to Saul, "I saw gods ascending out of the earth." He said to her, "What form is he of?" She said, "An old man cometh up, and he is covered with a mantle." And Saul perceived that it was Samuel. And he stooped with his face to the ground, bowed himself. And Samuel said to Saul, "Why hast thou disquieted me to bring me up?" Saul answered, "I am sore distressed, for the Philistines make war against me, and God is departed from me, and answereth me no more, neither by prophets nor by dreams. Therefore I have called thee, that thou mayest make known unto me what I shall do." Then said Samuel, "Wherefore then dost thou ask of me, seeing the Lord is departed from thee, and is become thine enemy?" And the Lord hath done to him as he spake by me. For the Lord hath rent the kingdom out of thine hand and given it to thy neighbor, even to David. Because thou obeyest not the voice of the Lord, nor executest his fear wrath upon Amalek, whereof therefore hath the Lord done this thing unto thee this day. Moreover, the Lord will also deliver Israel with thee into the hand of the Philistines. And tomorrow shalt thou and thy sons be with me. The Lord also shall deliver the host of Israel into the hand of the Philistines. Then Saul fell straightway all along on the earth, was sore afraid because of the words of Samuel. And there was no strength in him, for he had eaten no bread all the day, nor all the night. And the woman came unto Saul, and saw that he was sore troubled, and said unto him, Behold, thine handmaid hath obeyed thy voice, and I have put my life in my hand, and have hearkened unto thy words which thou spakest unto me. Now therefore, I pray thee, hearken thou also unto the voice of thine handmaid. Let me set a morsel of bread before thee, and eat, that thou mayest have strength when thou goest on thy way. But he refused, and said, I will not eat. But his servants, together with the woman, compelled him, and he hearkened unto their voice. So he arose from the earth and sat upon the bed, and the woman had a fat calf in the house. She hasted and killed it, took flour and kneaded it, and did bake unleavened bread thereof. She brought it before Saul, before his servants, and they did eat. Then they rose up and went away that night. I will need to read two more verses. I just read 28, coming to 29, first verse. Now the Philistines gathered together all their armies to Aphek, and the Israelites pitched by a fountain which is in Jezreel. Verse 11, so David and his men rose up early to depart in the morning to return to the land of the Philistines, and the Philistines went up to Jezreel. And I begin by noting the triple use of that expression, gathered together. One, the Philistines gathered their armies together for warfare to fight with Israel, chapter 28, verse 1. Two, the Philistines gathered themselves together and came and pitched in Shunem, chapter 28, verse 4. And three, the Philistines gathered together all their armies to Aphek, 29, verse 1. Now, for us to begin to understand the sequence of events of chapters 28 and 29, we need a map to show us the key locations. Now it is clear then that the Philistines first rallied, gathered together their forces at Aphek. That's chapter 29, verse 1. From the region of which David and his men reluctantly left the Philistine armed forces to make their way south to Ziklag. And for their part, the Philistines then headed for Jezreel, chapter 29, verse 11, where the Israelites were pitched, 29, verse 1. The first and main leg of the Philistines' journey took them 45 miles north to Shunem. Yeah, It took them 45 miles north to Shunem. It was a site near Jezreel and about 5 miles north of Gilboa. Now, we are explicitly told that the meeting between Saul and the woman at Endor took place not before the time when the Philistine forces were at Aphek, about which we read in chapter 29, but when the Philistines later pitched or camped at Shunem, chapter 28, verse 4. Endor is just 4 miles from Shunem. And we conclude, therefore, and it is inescapable, that the meeting between Saul and the so-called witch of Endor actually took place several days after the events recorded in chapter 29. I say so-called witch of Endor because the Bible, as you probably know, never calls her a witch. She wasn't a witch. She was a medium. What the Bible calls her. And if therefore we want to trace the events, which we do not, but if we did want to trace the events in strict chronological order, then we should jump in our reading from chapter 28 verse 2 straight into chapter 29, read our way through chapter 29 and then drop chapter 28 verses 3 to 25 at the end of chapter 29. And in that way, we would have a seamless whole that follows strict chronological order. That is the order in which the events took place. So you say, are you telling me then that the Bible's got the order wrong? Most definitely not. I am telling you it is not in strict chronological order. But it is far easier for me to demonstrate that the incident recorded in chapter 28, verses 3 to 25, actually took place chronologically at the end of 29. Far easier for me to demonstrate that than it is to offer a satisfactory explanation as to why the Holy Spirit recorded it where he did. Why we are entitled to wonder, and he wants us to wonder, why does he position then the Endor section out of chronological sequence in that way? Why? I could hear angels. No, it wasn't angels, right? Why? I can't pretend to know or be dogmatic, but I think we can hazard a very reasonable guess. And as I see it, there are two distinct strands to the answer. One, first, I suggest it's placed where it is to stand over against what we have read in chapter 27. There we noted David's sad failure and the consequences of David's lack of faith in God and God's providential care. And I suggest, one, that the Holy Spirit is saying, get back. No. Nope. Place is haunted. I suggest the Holy Spirit is saying, if you think that is bad, then take a look at Saul. If you're tempted to question whether it is right that God should choose to replace King Saul with a man who turned to God's human enemies for refuge, then let me point out that the man he is to replace turned to God's real and spiritual enemies for assistance. He turned to the powers of darkness. In other words, I believe it is important to the Lord that we assess that undisguised failure of David against the background of the total apostasy of Saul. And that is one of the reasons why I think the Holy Spirit interrupts the account of David's exchanges with Achish about David's involvement or not in the forthcoming battle. which account covers both Achish's insistence initially that David accompany him, and then the things which happened later when David and Achish paraded with the other Philistine forces at Aphek. Reason number one, the Spirit of God wants you to see you're dealing with two very different kinds of men. Which man is fit for the throne? Number one. Secondly, if it had been placed at the point in the narrative where it fitted chronologically, it would have come at the end of chapter 29, where we would have read something like, "And the Philistines went up to Jezreel, and on the way there they came and pitched in Shunem." Now Samuel was dead, and then you'd have gone into the Endor issue. But that would have had the effect of sharply dividing the narrative of chapter 29 from the narrative of chapter 30. And what we would have lost would have been the connection between, one, the successful objection of the Philistine lords to David's presence, and two, David's successful recovery of all that the Amalekites had taken away following their raid on Ziklag. In other words, we probably, because we don't read very carefully, we probably would have missed completely the demonstration of the Lord's gracious providence, which compelled David, against his judgment, to return home to Ziklag just in time to pursue and catch up with the Amalekites and so recover his wives and families of his men. And I suggest that the Spirit of God wants us to make that connection, and so to appreciate something of God's gracious care for his servant, even though his servant had taken the wrong step in going down to the Philistines in the first place. And so the Lord preserves the link unbroken by transplanting this narrative about Saul and the spiritist medium from the end of chapter 29 and locating it here. So I do not know, God hasn't told us, but I suggest that is why you break the chronological sequence. Talking about chronology, it's time for